In just a moment, I'm going to have Tim play a video clip about prayer. And in this video clip, you will see a person coming to Jesus to pray, and Jesus there listening attentively. So we're going to see that in a moment. But I want you to ponder something first before we go to that video clip. I want you to ponder two or three questions, and I will incorporate these questions into today's message. Even though today's message is entitled, How is Your Prayer Life? These three questions don't have anything to do with that, but really they do. Question number one, I want you to think about, and I know that there's a survey in front of you, and I know it's going to take a few minutes to fill that out, but I hope that you'll do that this morning. But I also hope you have a listening ear to the video clip and to the Lord and to Scripture and even to these questions. Question number one, why does the church exist today? I want us to think about that. I want us to think about that deeply. Why does the church exist today? Why did they exist in the first century? Why do they exist today? And of course, we can bring that down to our own application. Why does Motley Free Methodist Church exist? I'd like to have 2 or 3 hours together so we could put on a big whiteboard here why you think the church exists today, why you think Motley Free Methodist Church exists in this community today. I'd really like to know your thoughts. But I want us to think about that, brothers and sisters, because we don't exist just to come and hold down the pew every Sunday morning. I'm glad you're here, don't get me wrong. But the kingdom of God needs to go forth in 24/7, not just for an hour on Sunday morning. And so I want you to think deeply this morning, why does the church exist today? And I want you to think, would anybody in this community miss the church if it was missing? Would we notice? Would the community notice? But friends, I want us to think about our purpose this morning for a minute, can we? The purpose of the church is more than any preacher. Pastor Les will tell you that. He preached for decades. The purpose of the church is more than gathering on Sunday morning. The purpose of the church is deep. And I want us to ask ourselves this morning, why do we exist? Why do we exist in this community? And lastly, I want us to think, is the body making a kingdom difference? Are we making a kingdom difference? Today, we're living the here and now. And are we making a kingdom difference? I want us to think about those while we think about prayer this morning. And this little video you're going to see is kind of humorous. And so I know I've asked you to think about some deep thoughts, and now I'm going to reverse things on you because this video is kind of silly. But there's a very good point to it. Let's look at this video on prayer.
Hey Jesus, sorry I'm late. Work was crazy today. No, don't get up. It's okay. Just got a little bit behind. People are being crazy, you know.
That's no problem, Chuck. I'm just glad.
I'm glad I made it, too. Listen, let's get down to business. I have a lot of work here. A lot of requests. First things first, pastor and his wife are at a conference. Keep them safe. I'm not a fan of the assistant pastor. The less he preaches, the better. What else? Ralph, his wife, is getting a tattoo removed. It's a stupid college party way back when. You know how those things go. It's in a real painful spot.
I'm not a fan of football here, but my friend is. And if I could have 2 tickets to take him to show him how cool I am so he'd be my friend some more, that'd be great.
My dog Nibbles has a gimp leg.
Jiminy crickets. You know, now that I'm thinking, I could use a new jacket. I'm getting fuzzies all in this one. Please bless my sister, my mother, my father.
Our Father who art in heaven, my neighbor, Cindy. Hallowed be thy name.
Can you sort of train my church to clap on 2 and 4, please? 1 and 3, this is not disco, people. This is serving the Lord.
The guy who brings in my shopping cart from the thing,
something I can do to get a raise. Can you read what I wrote here? I think I was dreaming.
Plus the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Secretaries. Bless their secretaries. thy kingdom. Thy kingdom come. And that's what bothers me about my mother.
Hey, look at the time there. That's, gotta get going there. Jesus gonna wrap this up and say amen. Amen. It's been a pleasure praying with you. It's fine. Evening. I'll be talking with you. Have a good day.
I wonder if your prayer life resembles that. I wonder if the church's does. It is funny to watch this clown in the presence of Jesus with his list of requests. It is funny, but it's also very serious. And that's why the sermon title today is, How is Your Prayer Life? Let me ask you a couple things. Is it non-existent? Because I've had people say, you know what, Jim, I don't know how to pray. I've had people tell me I don't have time to pray. Is your prayer life non-existent? Is your prayer life lacking? I've had lots of people tell me when I ask them, how's your prayer life? Well, it could be better. Is our prayer life like this guy in the video? Yeah, we're going through the motions. Or is our prayer life, as Paul said in one of his letters, travailing in the Spirit? Seeking God passionately, honoring Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, travailing in prayer. Those of you that were here last week looked with me at Acts 4, 23 through 31. I'd invite you to turn again to Acts chapter 4 for one verse today. That's the last one, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, 31. You know the story, I think. Peter and John had been with the Pharisees. The Pharisees had strictly charged them, do not speak any more about Jesus. Do not speak about the resurrection of the dead. And we looked and saw these verses and saw where they went back to their companions and they raised their voice to the Lord God with one accord. And when they were done, you can read that little prayer in verses 24 through 31. And the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness, just what they had prayed for. And the reason I want to visit this verse 31 for a few minutes this morning is the results of prayer. The results that happen in one simple little verse. And I wonder this morning, friends, do we see these kind of results when the church gets together to pray? If the church gets together to pray, do you see these kind of results in your own prayer life? The foundations of the building are shaken. You're filled again, filled anew with the Holy Ghost. And prayers are answered. You see, we have a choice, friends. We can go to prayer like the busy guy in the video. Or we can go to prayer like the disciples did when they cried out in earnest, with conviction, with passion, and with expectation to Almighty God. We can come one way or the other, if we come at all. You see, when these people came together in corporate prayer, things happened. This was not necessarily a church service, although we're going to take some time for prayer this morning before we're done. This was simply people of God coming together to seek the face of God for answers, for direction, for strength, for power, for encouragement. This was simply people coming to the Almighty God with prayers to make a difference. You know what they were speaking for. We talked about that last week and Read it again this morning. They're told not to speak about Jesus, so they prayed for boldness to speak about Jesus. And their prayers were answered. And it also happened in that place, as a result of prayer, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, the Bible said. When was the last time we had a prayer meeting where the foundations of the building were shaken? When was the last time any church had a prayer meeting where the foundations were shaken? We serve the same Lord that shook those foundations that day. We serve the same Jesus. We can be filled with the same Holy Ghost. When was the last time that, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Every one of them praying. You say, Jim, I thought Pentecost filled them. It did. And now they're filled again. With new boldness. With new courage. With new passion to do what Jesus had called them to do. With new passion to go out and speak boldly about the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when the religious folks had told them to shut up about Jesus. They were filled with the Holy Ghost again, refreshed in His Spirit. And so can we, brothers and sisters, when God's people get serious and come together in prayer. These things can happen today just like they did then. Answers to prayer, foundations shaken, filled with the Holy Ghost. These same things can happen today when God's people come to Him in prayer, travailing in prayer. These same things can happen today. I have an idea when Pastor Sally gets here in 2 weeks, he's going to tell us about answered prayer in Pakistan. I have an idea he'll be telling us about miracles in Pakistan because the people there are seeking the face of God earnestly, passionately in prayer for God to move. I have an idea he's going to tell us about God moving. I said this last week, friends, and I want to say it just once more. I would welcome the sight of foundation shaking by the Holy Spirit of God. I would welcome the sight of people being filled with the Spirit because they're seeking the face of God. And I know lots of other pastors would too, in lots of places and lots of churches. We would welcome the Holy Spirit's being poured out afresh and anew anytime. We have people that gather together on Tuesday noon, some ladies that gather together for prayer. I praise God for that. If you want to join them, I would encourage you, if you're not clocked in or working someplace, or I'd encourage you to join on Tuesday at noon. We gather here on Saturday night at 6 o'clock to pray. And let me just say, Pastor Les Kreider decided, you know, a year in a quarter or so ago that it's important to pray for the Sunday morning services. And so Pastor Les said, can we do that? And some of us started praying on Saturday nights a year and a quarter ago. And immediately things started to happen on Sunday morning. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making it up. Immediately people started to come to Christ. Because God's people came to pray. It makes a difference when God's people pray. It made a difference when they prayed. And I know we got reasons. I can't make it on Tuesdays. I can't make it on Saturdays. Can't make it here. Can't. I know we got busy schedules, but I am telling you, brothers and sisters, we serve the same living God that was served and prayed to that day, and He responded to their prayers. He wants to respond to ours. He wants to respond in the lives of the unsaved when His church prays for the unsaved. He wants to respond to the lives of the sick when His people pray for the sick. He wants to respond to these couples that are hurting in their marriage when His people pray. Why do we exist, brothers and sisters? Why do we exist as followers of Jesus Christ? It's for the hurting. It's for the world at large that hasn't met Jesus. And if our prayer life is like that, guys, probably we can expect prayers ain't going to get answered too regularly. Oh, that's it, Jesus. I'm out of here. We've got to come with passion and zeal and desire and expectation. when we pray that God is going to move, that God is going to do miracles. Oh, brothers and sisters, I welcome a new boldness in our congregation and people of God and the church at large to seek the face of God in prayer. It's been a couple of years since we've done a 40-day prayer trek, a 40-day prayer walk. We've done a couple of them here, and God responded. I would welcome someone coming to me at any time. Can we do a 40 days? I want to lead a 40 days of prayer and fasting. Oh, I would welcome that. I would welcome a new boldness in our congregation and the church at large for Jesus. A new boldness that asks ourselves the question, why do we exist? Why do we exist? To love our neighbor as ourselves after we've loved the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's what Jesus said of the first two commands. Why do we exist? How's your prayer life? How is the church's prayer life? This is not a message of chastening. This is a message to call to arms the importance of prayer. When the first century believers went to God in prayer, they went with passion. They went with expectation. They went with fervor, and they went often. They bathed everything they did in prayer, and they saw results. Travailing in prayer was not their last ditch effort. Travailing in prayer was the first thing on their agenda. When Peter was in jail, the church was praying. When he showed up at the door, they were surprised because they had answers. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and God answered their prayers, brothers and sisters. I wonder what it will take for the church in the 21st century to feel the passion and the urgency to pray. And I know you pray at home, but there's something about corporate prayer. This little prayer gathering we do on Saturday night started about 16, 17 months ago. Pastor Les Crider had a burden on his heart. He said, Jim, we got to come together to pray on Saturday nights. We got to pray for Sunday morning services. We got to pray for our community. We got to pray for the churches all around us. And we began to pray 16 months ago or so, every Saturday night. And immediately, people began to be saved right here. You see, brothers and sisters, he wants his people to pray. He wants his people to come together corporately to pray, just like these guys did that day. They prayed until things happened. They prayed with an urgency, and they prayed with an expectation.